And folks, welcome back to maybe not the best podcast in the land, but it's decent. It's okay.
One of the more rigidly edited podcasts that I listen to, and I listen to a lot of pretty popular ones.
We do cut out long pauses. There's nothing boring to cut out, though, I'll tell you that.
There might be some lawnmower sounds that sneak through this week. You'll have to deal with that. My landlord didn't have time to cut during the day, and it's also 90 degrees during the day.
Listen, we're just getting real, Nick. We're getting real here.
Yeah, this is the truth. The truth is, he's cutting the lawn, and this is when we're recording. It's Thursday. We usually record on Friday, because I need all of tomorrow evening free.
I also have planned tomorrow evening to watch a certain something coming out.
Yeah, me too. And it's called Hamilton, and I'm probably going to watch it twice in a row.
Erin is planning, she's watching it once in the morning with the kids, and then once in the evening with drinks.
I saw her call it, she said she would do a throwaway watch with the kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily want to watch it twice, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, you can just go outside for the first one.
All right, guys, I'll be outside. Bye.
Go work on the garage door or something. Dads usually have to work on garage doors.
I usually don't like to work on house stuff. I like to make things. Maybe I'll paint shoes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, speaking of not working on the house, Nick, what you watch this week?
I had a pretty good stack of things that I watched this week. The Will Ferrell, Rachel McAdams movie, Eurovision Song Contest, the saga of fire, it's such a long title that I can't
even... Eurovision Song of Fire and Ice.
Yeah, Song, Ice and Fire came out, and I watched that, and I enjoyed it. Especially the second half, because that's when they start doing the performances, which are some of the more funny parts. And then the last, like, the climax is actually really good. So that was pretty cool. I finished watching Space Force. It's not the greatest sitcom ever made, but I decided that I do like it. And each episode had one really great line that Jess and I would then quote for the rest of the day and into the next day when we would watch the next one.
So you watched it with Jess?
Yeah, that was our thing that we would watch while we were eating. Because we usually have something going on. We were watching Parks and Rec when we were eating before, but we finished it too quickly because there's not enough in this world.
Would you recommend watching this while you look at your phone?
Space Force?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not all of it is gold, but every once in a while you'll look up because something hilarious is happening. And then the cast is really good. It's got Ben Schwartz and John Malkovich and Steve Carell and Lisa Kudrow and on and on and on.
Why don't you think it was more consistent?
I think a lot of times with sitcoms, they'll do a half season and then they'll see what worked from that and people's response and whatnot. And then when they come back after the mid-season break that they always take, they would retool it. Like Parks and Rec season one was only 6 episodes. So then they saw what worked and didn't work. Like they were being too close to The Office, so they gave more creative power to Mike Schur. Characters sort of evolved based on, like, Chris Pratt was supposed to only be in the first couple episodes, and then he was, like, the most fun on set, so he got bumped up. Stuff like that. And season two, they were still tooling with it, but they would do a few episodes, see the response, and then tool it, and that's how sitcoms work. So making a sitcom on Netflix, I think they incorporated a couple different almost like genre styles, and the way they do it this way is because they can't get any mid-season feedback or anything like that. They're gonna have to wait until they get feedback now, and I feel like season two will be a more consistent tone.
Yeah, when I remember watching season two of Parks and Rec and being like, oh, now they've sort of found their characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Now they know they've hit their stride. Yeah,
and they need time for that. They can't, you can't just make it all behind closed doors at once, and then for a sitcom, like maybe you could do that for like The Witcher or something like that, but not a comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so what else did you watch?
I started watching I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is the HBO documentary about the Golden State Killer and like Michelle McNamara's relentless hunting of him. He just pled guilty, the one that, because they caught him with DNA right. from his second cousin doing a 23andMe type thing.
Yeah.
So they caught him, he pled guilty, and it's really sad to me. It bothers me that Michelle McNamara died right before they caught him. It just bothers me.
That sounds like something that would bother you.
There's cosmic. Maybe she knows in the vast cosmic expanse. Maybe it travels through from this life, information like that. I don't know how the universe works.
I just sort of let you have that stream of consciousness just now.
I was thinking of in Avengers when Clint is talking to Wanda and they're like talking about Widow and Vision at the end, and they're like, she knows, they both know. It's like, I hope Michelle McNamara knows that they caught that creepo.
Got him.
Then I started watching season 2 of Castle Rock because Jess and I have been listening. We found some Stephen King podcasts. Like, I found one that was called The King Cast because a comedian I like, Sarah Beatty, was on it. And then she found one about The Stand, which I haven't started yet. So we were listening to these Stephen King podcasts, and we remembered that we had never started season 2 of Castle Rock. So we started watching that. At Lizzie Kaplan as Kathy Bates' character from Misery, Annie Wilkes.
Oh, she's in that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what Castle Rock is.
Castle Rock is like the, it's like a weird mashup of Stephen King things. It's sort of like the League of Extraordinary Stephen King characters, because it's sort of like an anthology series, because season 1 and 2 aren't really connected, but there's recurring characters. And, so, for example, season 2 is the main characters. Annie Wilkes, you know, who was the main character of Misery, Kathy Bates was Annie Wilkes. But it also, it takes place in Salem's Lot, which is another Stephen King book / movie. So there's characters from Salem's Lot in it too. And season 1 had Shawshank Prison was in it, and there's a couple other, there's all these different Stephen King references. So it's a little Dark Tower-y, where it's like all of his things exist in these different universes. So, season 1 was a little slow, even for me, and I wasn't super into it. I like the Stephen King references, because I like Stephen King. I don't like a lot of horror stuff, but Stephen King's is like sci-fi horror, and it's not really horror to me, because I don't think Stephen King is scary. He's just weird. But season 2 has been pretty good so far. We watched a couple episodes.
Well, if you say it's too slow, then it is probably really too slow for me.
Yeah, and it's pretty much for Stephen King nerds.
Well, I watched the first half of Eurovision Song Contest with Erin. She was not really into it. I was really... And I'm not, like, the biggest Will Ferrell fan. I was watching it mostly for Rachel McAdams and Pierce Brosnan, just to look at them. And, you know, the funniest part of that was Legion.
Dan Stevens?
Dan Stevens. Yeah, he was kind of the funniest part of it, I thought.
Yeah, he's pretty great. His song he does at the end is ridiculous.
There's a scene on the like this porch at this party, and he has Fremen blue eyes for whatever reason.
He's always got big glowy blue eyes. He's like Lawrence of Arabia, Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'll go back and finish it. I might. Who knows? I might look at my phone to it.
The end, if you don't finish it, at least watch the final Rachel McAdams song, because that was really good. Like, the song was really good.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then I watched, like, 2 episodes of Parks and Rec. I really haven't watched hardly anything this week. I have been going to bed fairly early and playing, like, an hour of ESO and then just going to bed. I'm being fairly responsible with sleep schedule this week, so not much to talk about.
Yeah. Netflix betrayed me and took Cheers off Because they're putting it on the Peacock streaming service.
Really?
And, yeah, I was, like, halfway through season 9, and I was like, oh, no, my end of night show is gone.
Well, I guess I won't be able to continue watching it as I was in season 1, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Stupid Netflix.
Stupid Netflix. Speaking of stupid things, that brings us to...
The questions tomes.
The questions.
The questions tomes.
The questions tomes, where we ask you questions. These questions are meaningless. It's just for fun times. It's just for goofs. Just goofing, Nick.
Yeah, you're not under any threat of death or harm by listening to the questions times or participating in them.
It's just for fun. Yeah, you know, this world requires you to answer questions about, like, where you stand politically and on hard issues. This is not that. This is a break from that.
Yeah, this is a stupid thing that you don't have to think about or worry about, and no one will judge you for your answers. I actually came up with the first question this week because it was something that I was just sitting there thinking. So the first question is, you only get to watch one genre of movie and TV show for the rest of your life. What is it? Now, half of this question is designed in a way where I'm specifically fishing for Rob loopholes. So don't let me down, Rob. You're the only one who is compelled to answer this week's questions times. Because that is a trap for you. The way that I have it in my head is it's one genre, and that applies to both movie and TV show. So you get one genre forever.
One genre forever. This was easy for me. I pretty much knew my answer. Huh?
Yeah, horror.
Horror? Yeah, I want, like, Hostel. That's what I want, mm-hmm. Just forever.
Yeah, Eli Roth.
Definitely not. So I actually chose action comedy.
That's possibly the best answer because it's all encompassing of what you need in your life.
Yeah, you need, like, action comedies don't get old. And, like, some people are like, well, I'm tired of vampire movies, or I'm tired of comic book movies, or, you know, I'm tired of Lethal Weapons or whatever. But action comedy spans so many different things that it can...
Yeah, you get Guardians of the Galaxy, The Mummy...
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Rush Hour.
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. They made too many of them, but Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much anything with Jackie Chan.
So, that's... I said in my answer that I wrote down also action comedy, but then I was trying to think of a TV show that was action comedy, and I really couldn't... Not sure if I can think of a TV show that's action comedy so much.
Yeah, I'm
so
trying to...
I think what I would want for TV is comedy, because I'd rather, if I only could have one thing, I would want a bunch of sitcoms, because there's a lot of them, and they can just be comfort food. Like, I can watch Parks and Rec over and over forever. And it definitely wouldn't be drama, but maybe dramedy, because you could consider Scrubs a dramedy, even though it's absurd sometimes. It'll have dramatic episodes, or, like, not full episodes, but, like, arcs in episodes will be good, so... Somewhere in the comedy spectrum.
I want a TV series, an action comedy TV series starring Burt Macklin, FBI.
Oh, yeah, that solves all the problems with that part of it, yeah.
Well, folks, let us know what genre that you'd want to watch for the rest of your life, if you were forced to. Nobody's forcing you, that's why, why it's interesting.
I feel like Rob's going to find a way... to watch everything, and I just can't wait to hear it.
Now I'm trying to think of something like a show or some genre that covers everything, but I don't know. I can't think of anything. There's nothing. There's nothing, Nick. Nothing's coming to me. Okay.
Correct.
All right, so second question of the questions times is, you get to design your own breakfast cereal, and breakfast cereals and orangutans.
And orangutans and breakfast cereals.
And so now if you... So we want you to describe it, and we want you to name it.
Oh, you got me with that, with the breakfast cereals and orangutans. All right, so this was pretty quick. This came to me pretty quickly.
Okay.
The two cereals that I would combine are Waffle Crisp and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because those are the most breakfasty tasting cereals to me. And just the smell of Waffle Crisp is one of the greatest things ever. Plus then Cinnamon Toast Crunch turns the milk good at the end. So I would do that, and I would call it Ultimate Breakfast because it combines everything you need from breakfast.
What are the things what are the things you need from breakfast, Nick?
I need to have the savory, the sweet, and the chaser. So the savory, you get the savory waffles, you get the sweet cinnamon flavor, the sweet honey, the savory, and I don't know, I'm saying words that don't combine together well. It's sweet, it's savory, it turns the milk good. That's why it's ultimate.
Are waffles savory?
I think so, yeah. Waffle itself can be savory. It depends how you make them. It depends, because if you make just like a standard waffle, it might be sweet, but like I have a book of different kinds of waffles, and there's like sourdough waffles and stuff like that, so you can have all kinds of different waffles.
I got a book on waffles.
I will backpedal endlessly to make myself correct here.
yeah, you don't know. I got a book on waffles
here. You got a book over there that tells me what kind of waffles I can and can't make, Benjamin.
You know, I have made savory crepes before, and they were delicious.
So you agree that my answer is correct and that all waffles are savory?
Well, you're combining Waffle Crisp with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I don't know that Waffle Crisp is savory. Isn't that like a sugary bomb cereal?
Yeah. All right, smart guy, what's your cereal?
All right, so I would take unsweetened corn / rice flakes with chunks of medjool dates. Not Deglet Noor dates, but medjool dates. And walnut pieces.
You gotta make sure it's the medjool. It can't be the David Norse or whatever you said.
Yeah, no, it's... Hey, get your dates right, bro. Get your dates right.
Why, it's 2nd July, Ben.
Okay. I see what you did there, Dad. I would also accept Barhi dates. Barhi dates are delicious as well. If you don't know, I'm a date connoisseur, so... but anyway, I would also have maybe some raw oats in there and some clusters, like Honey Bunches of Oats clusters, you know?
See, you got me there. I love those clusters.
Yeah, them clusters are top shelf, bro.
Just give me a Honey Bunches of Oats all clusters. Yeah. That's it. That's my new cereal.
That's it.
That's ultimate breakfast.
I celebrate your idea. And so then I would call this cereal because it's close to cereal. And it's,
yeah, it's a pun.
It's a pun. And so after I wrote this out, I looked at the ingredients and I thought, gosh, this is pretty much just Kellogg's Just Right.
Introducing Kellogg's Just Right cereal, the perfect harmony between
taste, nutrition, which is an extinct cereal, but before it became extinct, it was my favorite cereal.
I don't remember that one.
Kellogg's Just Right. Folks, let me know if you've ever eaten Kellogg's Just Right. It had dates. It actually had dates and raisins in it.
With the sun-rich goodness of raisins, nuts, and chopped dates.
And now that I think about it, raisins would be good in it, too. I love raisins. I know raisins are like a divisive... You don't like raisins, do you?
I like raisins.
Oh, you like raisins?
No, I'm siding with you. I'm on Team Raisin. I don't eat that much cereal. We get Raisin Bran all the time. We've been getting the Costco Raisin Bran. It's really good.
Yeah. I buy the two big bags of raisins at Costco, the Sun-Made organic ones.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good. I love raisins.
They're nature's candy.
They are, and so are dates. Dates and raisins are like candy, guys. You say like, well, hey, look, I got a sweet tooth. You can eat dates and raisins as your dessert after dinner.
Welcome to Date Night. It's a podcast about the sweet, sweet Mediterranean fruit, the date.
Hey, you laugh, but we should do a fake Patreon episode on dates.
Call it Date Night?
Call it Date Night. If you guys are our imaginary Patreon supporters, we'll have the episode coming out soon.
Sounds good.
Coming out every day. It'll be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So let us know what your breakfast cereal and orangutan would be, and don't forget to name it, and then we'll read it on the show.
I like this. That's probably going to breed some fun answers and cereals that I would like to eat.
It will. We will not tell you how to get in touch with us at this point. You'll have to wait for later in the show, which means you have to listen.
Yep. Otherwise, you could just check the show notes.
You could do that. Boorsville, though, if you did that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Boorsville, we have news.
Hey, dum-dums. Listen to this here news.
We do. Our first little piece of news is just an article that I saw that they're apparently making a live-action adaptation of The Magic School Bus, and Elizabeth Banks is set to be Miss Frizzle, and I think she's producing it and possibly directing it as well.
So Elizabeth Banks is one of those people that I was wondering what happened to her, or where has she been? What has she been doing?
She's directing stuff a lot. She's directing most of the time. She directed Pitch Perfect 3, and she directed that bad Charlie's Angels reboot, and she's got a bunch of other director credits, so I guess she's been behind the camera a lot lately.
That's right. I totally forgot about Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, no, everyone did.
Totally forgot about that. I like Elizabeth Banks if she's in the right thing.
Me too. I'm an Elizabeth Banks supporter. She was in Scrubs. So anyone who is in Scrubs for a stint of time has this weird sort of... I have this weird loyalty to them because I love Scrubs so deeply that it's almost as if they're... if someone were to pick on Elizabeth Banks, you know how you can pick on your own family, but other people aren't allowed to? I have that sort of with people who are on Scrubs. So, like, when people were picking on Charlie's Angels, which I myself pick on, if other people start picking on it, I'm like, hey, now.
Hey, don't you go talking bad about Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks was Kim Briggs on Scrubs. You leave her alone.
She was also Rita Repulsa.
I did not ever see that movie.
It is not worth seeing, so...
That's what I heard. Friend of the show, Jay, watched it on Amazon and was texting me while he was watching it, and it didn't sound like it was very good.
It was not. Yeah, but I didn't really have high expectations for it, so...
Me neither.
Another piece of news. This came out today out of nowhere. This blindsided me, and I am sort of excited and also cautious in my excitement. But the announcement came from the mouth of Bethesda themselves that Kilter Films, the producers of Westworld, are making a Fallout series on Amazon based on the Fallout video game series.
And if you're not familiar with Kilter Films... It's like Jonathan Nolan and I forget the other person's name. What's her name?
Lady. Nice lady.
It's pretty bad to only remember the dude's name. Lisa Joy.
Lisa Joy.
Yeah, so Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan.
So we're going to cancel Nick now.
Sorry.
He only remembered the dude's name.
But, you know, I only remember him because he's Chris Nolan's brother.
Okay, so here's my apprehension here, Nick. I'll tell you. If you watch Westworld, there is like little to no comedic relief, and Fallout is both like brutal and apocalyptic, but also really funny, and it's got like this weird sense of humor. And for it to be Fallout, you got to get that sense of humor right.
100%.
I just hope they can do it.
Here's the thing: is how much of that comes from HBO itself, and like. There's a certain weight to the thing because it's on HBO and they want it to be sort of heavy-handed or something. I don't know.
I think you're onto something there. I've sort of decided I don't really like HBO. I really don't like hardly anything I see on it, I've decided. So
most of the stuff on HBO is pretty... Eh.
Like, I keep trying to watch stuff and I just don't like any of it. I'm gonna give Perry Mason a try and see...
The best thing ever made on HBO is Barry with Bill Hader.
Never saw it.
Oh, that's one of the best shows ever. There's only 2 seasons, and they haven't said when they're going to start even filming the 3rd season, but it ended on a cliffhanger, so they better get to it.
Don't leave you hanging.
It's so good. But most of the other stuff on HBO is like, it goes on, it gets worse as it goes on. It'll start really strong. Like, Sopranos was really good, and then by the end, I stopped watching, and... I didn't watch season 3 of Westworld because season 2 made me feel stupid. Couldn't keep track of it.
Well, I'm trying to think about Amazon. Like, I didn't really like the fairy show with old girl in it and Orlando Bloom.
Carnival Row.
Carnival Row. I didn't really like that. I ended up not really liking Swedish show. I can't think of the name of anything tonight.
Hanna?
No, the Swedish art. Tales from the Loop.
Yeah, Tales from the Loop.
I didn't really like Tales from the Loop. I know I did like the air balloon movie, the balloonist movie.
The Aeronauts.
Aeronauts, yeah, I did like that. So if we can get that quality here, and on Lord of the Rings too, then I'm gonna be happy.
Yeah, Amazon had some stuff that I really liked, and some stuff that I never went back to Tales of the Loop, but Good Omens is one of the best adaptations I've ever seen. So they can go either way. There's more stuff I watched on Amazon and enjoyed throughout than on HBO, probably.
I just hope this is the right move. I hope they do it right. I hope they have lots of good props and sets and the right kind of humor and tone. And
it's 100% tone, because you can't adapt a specific storyline because it's Fallout. So the storyline, they're free to do literally whatever they want.
Yeah.
It's all tone.
Yeah, it's all tone. So I'm really, y'all know how I love Fallout. I love Fallout a lot. So hopefully you get it right. All right, folks. Well, let's move on to the
new
trailers.
Trailers. We have, how many we got? 11 trailers here.
Yeah.
Couple of boogers.
Yeah, some real bad ones in here.
Yeah. But you know, we'll just pound them into the ground, won't mm-hmm. we?
Yeah.
Just step on them. First trailer we have here is for a movie called Respect.
Yeah, this one I'm not going to pound in the ground because it didn't look bad. This is a Aretha Franklin biopic. Do you say biopic or biopic?
We've had this discussion before. I say biopic.
Okay. This is an Aretha Franklin biopic starring Jennifer Hudson. And I'm pretty sure, I don't think anyone else could play her because her voice is pretty close. She sounds
pretty
real
close.
Good
Yeah.
in this trailer.
My only criticism of this trailer is they keep playing the same sound clip of her she does this thing at the end and they just keep playing it over and over again, and at the end you're like, y'all keep playing the same clip
mm-hmm. of sound. It's almost as if the trailer was restarting over and over.
Yeah. But you're right, it does look like it's really well made. The acting, the singing sounds great, so it'll probably be a hit.
I bet the soundtrack would be good.
Yeah, probably so. So that is coming out maybe in theaters, I guess.
Maybe. We'll see.
Theaters are opening up in about 2 weeks, so. And then we have a trailer for Soul, like a full-length trailer for Soul. This is the Pixar film.
Yeah, this is another... Pixar is making another movie that's sort of about music, it looks like, from this. And the last time they did that was Coco, and that was a really good movie.
Yeah, this looks like it'll probably be a tearjerker, I think.
I think so. Also, I can't believe how good their animation has gotten.
Looks really good.
It's just watch this trailer just in HD if you can, and look at the animation, and then go and watch a clip from Toy Story 1 and just see how they've advanced.
Yeah, my kids were watching Toy Story 1 the other day, and I was like, man, we have come a long way.
Yeah, I mean, it's 20 years, but it's ridiculous.
So this, I don't know when this is coming out.
That doesn't really factor in anymore because they change all the time. Chris Nolan's movie Tenet has changed its release date 5 or 6 times in the past month. So, you know, who knows? It'll come out when it comes out.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it's going to come out on Disney Plus simultaneously with theaters. Do you?
No, I mean, they did that with Onward. Onward came out a month or two after it came out in theaters, but that was right at the start of COVID. Who knows? Who knows what they'll do with this one? They might just hold on to it until it's closer to the normal times, if that ever is a thing.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so that looks good. And then we have a trailer for Ava.
Yeah, this is looks to be maybe a passable generic action movie starring Jessica Chastain, John Malkovich, and Colin Farrell.
Hey, Colin Farrell. Now, so this is very, when you watch this, you're like, God, this looks a lot like Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, it doesn't have the cool 80s vibe of Atomic Blonde, though, because Atomic Blonde has a lot of neon 80s synthy stuff in it, and this, I don't know, this looked like a combination of Atomic Blonde and Killing Eve on Hulu.
Yeah, or maybe like Atomic Blonde in a Bourne movie.
Yeah, the Bourne...
Legacy, Supremacy.
Yeah, I couldn't think of any of that. I'm going to tell you something right now. I've only seen one Bourne movie, and it's the fourth one.
That's random.
Yeah, it's really absurd. It's because I watched it with people who wanted to watch it.
That's actually my story for John Wick.
You've only seen one John Wick?
And it was the second one.
Hmm. So that was the one with Common.
Oh, he was? He was in that?
Yeah, he fights Common on a train.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't really remember it too much. But but same story. I was with people, and we just went and see it. No. I wonder if this movie got made because Atomic... Did Atomic Blonde do well?
I think Atomic Blonde didn't do super great. They're making another one, but Netflix bought it, so... I don't know. I don't think it did super well. They were banking on Charlize Theron because it was post-Mad Max Fury Road, and so everyone wanted Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron is she's on that Netflix train.
Yeah. That makes sense, actually. She's in one of our later trailers for a Netflix thing.
We then have a trailer for Mortal.
Yeah, this is not really easy to follow at first, this trailer. I had to watch it twice. Some kid in Norway from America or something, and he has been living in the woods, and he has X-Men powers or something.
Yeah, I didn't want to watch this a second time. This trailer is cut just terribly. It's not a good trailer. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, yes, X-Men, but like great value X-Men.
Right.
Straight to DVD X-Men.
It looks like the scene in one of the recent X-Men where Magneto was living in the woods with his family or whatever, and then they came for him, and I think they killed his wife or something. I don't remember which X-Men it was. Apocalypse?
Well, imagine X-Men being in the theater, and then you go to Blockbuster, and you're looking on the shelves, and you see something that's like X-Guys.
Yeah, a Mockbuster.
Yeah, a Mockbuster, yeah.
Yeah. See, this movie, Mortal, it said from the director of Trollhunter, and that is a really, really good movie. It's like a found footage Norwegian movie about the Norwegian government hiding the fact that there's trolls, and they have to keep the trolls out of the public eye, and they have like this one kind of Norwegian Ron Swanson-y type guy that is in charge of it. And then, like, the government is trying to... It's like these college kids trying to make a documentary exposing the government. It's really, really good. I have it on Blu-ray. But I don't know that this will have that... Because that was really unique. And this doesn't seem like it'll have that magic.
Well, hearing you describe Trollhunters, I'm absolutely more interested in Trollhunters than this.
Yeah, so... it's really good. And the effects are really good for being, like, an Indian movie made in Norway.
Is it, what's the genre? Is it, it's not a horror movie, is it?
No, it's like it's like a found footage movie, you know, like, because it's made by, like, hand cam, but it's not horror, it's done like a documentary, like an expose documentary.
Expose, that's what I was thinking, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll check that out, I'll find someone to watch that. That sounds interesting.
I vouch for Trollhunter 100%.
I'm going to skip X Guys.
Yeah.
Mortal.
Yeah, me too. I'll just rewatch Trollhunter. I have it on Blu-ray.
There you go. Okay, next up we have a trailer for Cursed.
Yes, this is... We had a teaser trailer for this a couple weeks ago that we talked about, and it's the King Arthur era Excalibur show starring Catherine Langford. And...
Floki.
It looks good. It looks good. It's got Floki in it. Gustav Skarsgård.
Yeah, visually, I thought this looks really good. Really interesting visually. And I hope... Now, I will say, too, that Letter from the King also looked good visually, but then it turned out to be not very good, guys. Mm-hmm. Now, this does... I think this has the chance to be good because she looks like a druid. I think she has, like, druid powers.
Yeah, I think Excalibur gives you some sort of supernatural power.
Yeah.
To wield it.
There's one scene where there's like, she's holding the sword and these all these guys are in front of her and she starts, her face starts getting like the vines in it or whatever. And then like these vines are like picking these guys up off the ground and like really fast.
Yeah, it looks cool. I hope it's not cheesy. I'm definitely going to check it out though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sort of like TVMA, like more for adults, I think.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I didn't see a rating in the trailer.
I didn't either. I'll definitely watch this, though. I'm going to definitely check this out, for sure.
Me too.
All right, so that brings us to the next trailer, which is Made in Italy.
Yeah, this threw off our one-word title trend that we had going for a while, because all the previous movies were just one word. Respect, soul, cursed.
Ava, mortal.
Mortal. But now we have Made in Italy, which is three words, so...
You're such a good counter.
Mm-hmm. I went to school for it.
There you go. You're a math major, right? You were a math major?
That's exactly right, as long as no one does any follow-up research.
You're the Golden State mathematician.
Yeah. No, I'm Chidi from The Good Place. I have a Bachelor of Arts Philosophy Ethics degree.
I do enjoy talking philosophy with you.
It's because I'm very smart at it. Unlike math, which I can't do in my head.
Also, you're not good at geography. Let's not forget.
Yeah. I'll provide a list for everyone of all the subjects that I'm bad at.
All right. So this movie, Made in Italy, it's got Mr. Ra's al Ghul in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep. Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. And I will say this, guys. This movie does not look good. But if I was Liam Neeson and I was at the same point in his career that he is now, I would absolutely make this movie. It's a free trip to Italy. No, it's you get paid to go to Italy.
This movie was directed by James Darcy, who I love. He played Jarvis on Agent Carter, the TV show. And he's in Master and Commander. But like, I feel like he also just wanted to go to Italy.
Well, somebody wrote a movie and they did it.
They did refer to a weasel as a rat baguette, and I thought that was very funny.
The one shining moment in the trailer.
Yeah, that was it, though.
I couldn't tell you what happened in this trailer, except for they have a house. They own a house that's in disrepair, and I think they probably end up repairing it.
I also think that there's a good chance that whenever you film a movie in Tuscany, that one of your background actors, like an extra, will inadvertently be George Clooney, who just is there most of the time.
I did not. Is he there most of the time?
Yeah, he's got a house there.
Oh, listen, if I had George Clooney money, I probably would do the same.
Mm-hmm. He just hangs out in Tuscany all the time.
I wonder if he drives a Ferrari.
Probably.
He might drive.
If I was George Clooney, I would.
A Scuderia, a Ferrari. I would have a Ferrari if I lived in Italy.
Me too.
And maybe a Maserati.
Both of them.
Maybe a Fiat.
Just if you lived in Italy.
Only.
Not if you were rich and lived in Italy, they just hand them out.
Yeah. Everybody has a Ferrari in Italy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
A Ferrari. A Lamborghini.
They made all the fast ones, huh?
Actually, I would rather have a Lamborghini. Would you rather have a Lamborghini or a Ferrari?
Me?
Yeah, you.
I'd rather have a Maserati.
Okay.
Because that does 185.
Which one? Lambos and Ferraris go faster than 185, so...
There's no song about those.
I'm trying to think of the Lamborghini that I'd want. Probably the Aventador.
Yes. I think I would like the Vente Cappuccino.
I like the Veneno, too.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, well, this isn't car talk.
The Pasta Fazool is the one that I would like.
What are you, Rita? An angel sent from above? I love pasta vajol.
Jonah Hill?
No, that's... it's from at Saturday Night Live, Christopher Walken.
Oh, I thought you were doing Saturday Night Live when Jonah Hill was the Jewish kid. He would be like at Benihana's. He'd be like, Mazel Tov, I know, I'm 6 years old. But then he'd be like, bless your heart, sweetheart. Stuff like that. I thought that's what you were doing.
No, this is the one with it's Sherry O'Terry and Christopher Walken, and they're like snow, like shoveling snow.
Yeah, I remember it now. I have that Christopher Walken DVD somewhere.
Yeah, I have it somewhere too. What are you, Rita? all right, so enough talk of this. That brings us to the next trailer, Black is King.
Yeah, this is a film from Beyonce.
I think film is probably a loose term for this.
Yeah, this was like a weird concept, visual concept piece.
That's exactly what it was. This looks like if you were putting together a reel, like you had just graduated college and were putting together a reel. It's mm-hmm. like, here's my reel. And that's what this trailer was.
A lot of cool visuals, though. The costume design.
Costume design was cool, for sure.
Some Afrofuturism in there.
Yeah, I dig Afrofuturism. I love Black Panther and that sort of that aesthetic. I think it's really cool. This, I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, I don't know what it's about. It's just, it looked cool.
I have respect for Beyonce, but I also don't like Beyonce. Like, I recognize she's talented, but I don't like some of her choices. For example, you know, a lot of people watch the Super Bowl, including kids. And in a halftime show, she basically was like a stripper. So at that one year she performed, wasn't into that.
Well, that's every halftime show.
Well, that's true. Janet Jackson, yeah, get gone.
Yeah. And don't forget that time Slash came out and just ripped his pants away.
No thanks. That's a hard no.
Yeah.
So this, I don't know what this is or what it's when it's coming out or what it's about.
Not sure.
We
looks
don't
cool,
know.
But I need more than that.
I'm sure they'll have like a real trailer. This is like a teaser, so I'm sure at some point we'll talk about this, the real trailer.
Yes.
Okay, then we have a trailer for The Boys Season 2, that Amazon show.
Yep.
And this did not make me interested at all.
No, I don't really like The Boys. It's too nihilistic for me. It's almost Mark Millar-esque.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But the one thing in this, she was on like Facebook Live or Instagram Live or something. The new girl or whatever her name was, Stormfront.
Stormfront, yeah.
So she was on live and she was broadcasting the other two people. I don't know. I don't remember. I think the guy's name is Homefront. And she was broadcasting them, and I was reading the fake Instagram comments, like the Instagram Live, because, you know, it has the little feed of when people are commenting when you do a live video.
Yeah.
And my first instinct was, I was like, man, this is super, like, phony, like, written, like, how they would write fake social media comments, and it didn't feel real to me. But then I thought about it, and I was like, no, people are really that weird and pretty lame, and I bet it is actually pretty accurate of what people would say.
You saying that reminds me of people talking about Lost World, and like they would not open the Jurassic Park back up after the fiasco that happened, and now we're like looking around and being like, well, you know what, Lost World got it right, folks. Look at the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I no longer question anything. The only thing is, the only thing I would say about these social media comments is that they were too coherent, because there wasn't a bunch that were just like one thing or like one emoji or so. That's the only thing that I took away from this.
There wasn't bots. There needs to be bots. They're like, do you want to make money from home? DM me. Needed more of that. So if you like The Boys, you're probably looking forward to this. We did not. Not our thing. This is a pretty boring trailer. Like, nothing happens. Like, Homefront's reaction, like, you keep waiting for him to say something, and he's just like, well, and then he just walks away, and it's like, okay, this was not good.
One of the comments in the in the feed that she was showing was, homie is shook when she was talking to him, Homelander, Homefront, or whatever his name is.
Oh, is it Homelander? Maybe it's Homelander.
Yeah, I think it's Homelander. I think I said Homefront because I said Stormfront.
Yes. Now people that like the show are like, well, I'll just turn this podcast off.
We're the dumb dudes, you know. We don't really watch this show. I saw some of it at the beginning, but
Who are these dumb dudes? Get it dumb. Right. Okay, so next up we have a trailer to The Tax Collector. This is Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf with an earring and a goatee. He kind of looks like Justin Timberlake from the SNL, his Andy Samberg duo, you know?
Yes, and yeah. he has double cauliflower ear.
Yep.
So you know he's been fighting and wrestling.
Do we buy Shia LaBeouf as a tough guy?
Here's the thing. Shia LaBeouf is a good actor. And I think he can sell it. And I'm almost wondering if this performance is going to be surprising in the same way that Anne Hathaway was surprising as Catwoman.
I wasn't surprised by how Anne Hathaway was good as Catwoman because I wanted her to be Catwoman before they even cast her.
Okay, so I actually had a different experience. When they cast her as Catwoman, I was like, what? You cast Princess Diaries as Catwoman? And then when she showed up on screen, I was like, she sold it. Like, she totally, totally sold it. And I was like, well, dang, I was absolutely wrong.
See, I might be wrong about Shia LaBeouf. My first instinct is that I'm not afraid of Shia LaBeouf.
This trailer's terrifying. Like,
that is true. The trailer itself is pretty tense.
Yeah, so it's like the underworld, and I guess like in L.A. with like gangs and drugs. And these are like groups of people with automatic weapons, and they're just very scary. It's a very scary world. I don't want any part of that. Like the whole Mexican drug trade and like the cartels.
Yeah, I don't want to. Not for me.
I don't want anything to do with that. I just think they're really brutal and they hurt innocent people. This is not a commentary on drugs. This is a commentary on people hurting other people.
It's true.
I don't think they make the world a better place.
No, we're coming out and saying it that violence is wrong here on the podcast.
Yes, we are against violence, and we're also very afraid of drug cartels.
Yeah. Ben and I won't be participating in any drug cartels.
No, we will not.
That's your main takeaway you should get from the Tax Collector trailer.
Yeah, but it's like I really want to see this. Like, I want to, because that world is so foreign to me, I want to see it.
Yeah, it's like when I was watching my movie poster movies, my 100 bucket list movies, every once in a while it would get to one where I'm so out of the loop of what the world is of the movie that it was just sort of fascinating for me. I was like, I have no idea about any of this.
Yeah. That's pretty different than just like going to work and then playing video games and watching movies at home.
Yeah, pretty much, exactly. Yeah, that like the Brazilian movie City of God. I watched that and I was like, "Ugh, man, I'm glad that I lived my very simple life."
I've never seen that.
It's a pretty violent movie about like the slums of Brazil and the different factions and gangs and stuff. That's sort of the power struggle.
Yeah.
And some journalists. Like, it's about it's a true story of a photographer, but yeah, it was pretty messy.
Is it in Rio de Janeiro?
There was a couple different places. The main city was something that probably translates to City of God, but it switched to a few different ones.
Gotcha. Okay, then we have a trailer for The Old Guard. This is actually the second trailer for this. This is that what is it, Nick?
I think it's a movie on Netflix with Charlize Theron based on a graphic novel where there are these people that are extraordinarily long-lived because they have sort of Wolverine powers where they heal. We did learn from this trailer that that's not eternal and that eventually they become mortal just randomly and they don't know why. Charlize Theron, it looks like, was recruiting someone who they found out had the ability that they have and wanted her to come with them. Because she's not going to age, and everyone in her family and friends and stuff would age around her. And Charlize Theron was like, "You should just come with us now."
Yeah, I think this was a better trailer than the first one. Gave you more of an idea of what this, a more in-depth look of what this is.
Yeah, I had a good idea of what I was getting from this one.
Yeah. I will definitely end up watching this. It's like it costs nothing to watch this. They made it. It's an interesting premise. I will check it out.
Also, Charlize Theron rules.
We are Charlize Theron fans here. We like her.
Yep.
Give us more Mad Max.
Yes.
Furiosa.
Furiosa.
That's what we want. All right, final trailer, Pay Dirt.
This is the best one of the group. Save the best for last.
This is that golden booger.
Speaking of golden, Luke Goss is in this movie, who the last time I saw him was in the Golden Army as the dark elf prince Nuada fighting Hellboy.
That may have been the pinnacle of his career, because this is not it.
Yeah, I think this is probably that was probably his highlight, and he was wearing full makeup, so no one remembers it was him.
I don't, actually. So Val Kilmer is in this, but you can barely tell. He looks way different.
Val Kilmer looks like his life and choices were difficult and painful.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Val Kilmer in like a Top Gun. He just looks like a completely different dude than he does now.
Yeah, Top Gun, Tombstone. I mean, he was Batman once.
He was, you're right. Tombstone, though, how good is he in Tombstone?
He is like the standout in a movie that also has both Kurt Russell and Sam Elliott in it.
Gosh, I want to go watch Tombstone.
Tombstone rules. Tombstone's one of my favorite westerns.
You gonna do something, or are you gonna stand there and bleed?
It was it came out at the same time as the Kevin Costner Wyatt Earp movie, and people are like, oh, you have to pick between. It's like Kurt Russell, I love Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell.
Did you ever see The Island of Dr. Moreau?
I saw that a long time ago, and I'm sort of, I've listened to so many podcasts about the behind the scenes problems with The Island of Dr. Moreau that I feel like, even if I haven't seen it in years, I feel qualified to talk about it.
That movie's so weird.
Okay, you want to know some of the stuff about that movie?
Yeah, sure.
Marlon Brando wouldn't read the script. He insisted that he improv every single one of his lines. He was supposed to lose 40 pounds for the role. He gained 80. He didn't show up on set 3 out of 5 days of the week. He would just be gone for periods of time and unreachable. So I guess Marlon Brando was an unholy terror. He drove the director insane. The studio was meddling with everything. It just was terrible.
I never knew any of this.
Brando's a problem on sets, or was a problem, because he caused a lot of problems in Apocalypse Now as well. Coppola hated him.
We need to do a fake Patreon recap of Island of Dr. Moreau.
We should do that, yeah. We'll watch it and do riff tracks for it.
There it is. All right, well, that's all the new trailers, folks. But that brings us to the trailer mailers.
You've got mail.
Yep, and we got a lot of good responses from the questions times last week.
We did. So last week, first question from last week was, if you could have any non-force user job in the Star Wars universe, what would it be?
And Mike said, I want to work in Bespin. It's nice and clean and posh, but also interesting and exciting without being necessarily dangerous. Plus, Lando would be there.
That's a great answer. If you guys don't know what Bespin is, it's that cloud city.
Yeah, in Empire Strikes Back. I commented back to Mike on this. I said, this is one of the only things where I like the special edition additions that George Lucas made, where he put more windows and stuff in Bespin, and you could see the cloud cars flying around outside.
That's cool. I'd love to spend a vacation at Bespin, perhaps.
Me too.
Rob said, I would like to be a pilot for Naboo, the planet Naboo. Those N1 starfighters are so slick and beautiful, and
buddy, you are not wrong.
I also like their uniforms. They totally nailed the aesthetic for like 1970s Star Wars uniforms in that movie that they made in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think the N1 starfighters, the outfits, actually all of Naboo was a high point in the prequels.
Yeah, we've discussed this on and off, but I've had a weird renaissance of changing my opinion of the prequels, in that I stopped taking them so seriously, and now I enjoy them for the memes.
They are full of the memes, that's for sure.
So good. So many memes. Also Clone Wars.
Plus, we just love Obi-Wan.
Yes, Obi-Wan for life. Speaking of Ben, Kenobi, Ben Mayo, said, "I'd probably want to be a non-combatant engineer or support staff on the Episode 4 Death Star. I mean, the Imperial Navy has to pay well, and the Death Star is a veritable space fortress. It's got to be the safest job in the fleet." I like to think of him as saying this in the timeline while it exists in Episode 4. So he's like on Corellia talking to his family, and he's like, "Look, I can be a non-combatant engineer on the Death Star. Look, it's a space fortress. It's the safest place in the universe.
In the universe.
Hopefully for you, you do not get that job yet."
Yeah, we are going to write a letter of non-recommendation for you. to Director Krennic, directly.
Yep. "We are standing here amidst my accomplishment, not yours."
All right, so Bridget said, "I'd like to be a cantina owner or bartender because that would be fun, and you get good tips if they make a mess."
Yeah, I would visit your cantina.
What planet, though, Bridget? We need to know what planet.
If you're going to have a cantina, you almost have to be on Tatooine.
Yeah.
And you get, Mandalorian wandering in and Han Solo.
Yeah. But would you make more money if you were a bartender on the Vegas planet?
Coruscant?
No. The casino.
Cantobite. Jedi. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
I love the Cantobite police uniforms.
I don't remember what they look like. They're really cool. I'll check later.
Oh, I want to read my brother's.
Okay.
So Jackson said, "I'd be an engineer on Corellia. The planet itself is much like Earth, and he loves Earth. And if you wanted to get away to another galaxy far, far away, you'd have the latest and greatest starships at your disposal, and you could even design one yourself."
Yeah, we get to see Corellia finally in Solo at the beginning.
Yeah, it was so awesome. I loved being on Corellia.
Me too. I love everything in that movie. Haters can leave their bags and hit the road.
You haters can go watch Pay Dirt.
Yeah. that's needlessly cruel.
It is. All right, so that brings us to question 2 from last week. If you could have a COVID-19 mask made in any shape out of any material, what would you choose?
All right, Mike said, "I want a mask that looks like a screen, like the Layer and Shredder's mask in the first Ninja Turtles movie. I want people to be able to see my face and mouth, but just barely." Mike, I like the way that you think. The Shredder looks awesome in the first Ninja Turtles movie.
He really does. I think this is an incredible answer. I wish I'd thought of it. Shredder is awesome.
Plus, he picked the first Ninja Turtles movie, which I just recently watched the first two, and the first one holds up really well. The second one does not. I didn't the second one.
No.
But the first one definitely holds up.
I need to go back and watch that with the kids. Rob said, "I would just make a mask out of Legos because there's no way COVID would survive stepping on Legos."
That's pretty great.
Rob, you and your creative answers.
I think he could do it. I've seen some of the stuff he's made.
Yeah, no, you absolutely could if you had the materials.
I sounded like Zola from Captain America. Because he can do it. All right, Ben Mayo from the Mayo Clinic said, "Unicorn hair. When you're talking mythical material, unicorn hair is a valid answer in 9 out of 10 cases. Plus, if they poop rainbows and cotton candy, then it's got to always smell good, right?" I told Ben he should check out an episode of Gravity Falls. There's an episode about unicorn hair specifically, and it doesn't always live up to your expectations.
My 7-year-old thinks that unicorns are real.
Well, so does North Korea, so.
They do?
Yeah. I think Kim Jong-un said that they have unicorns, and that's what they tell the people that live there, and it's not like the people that live there can research things on their own. It's also the national animal of Scotland.
I did not know that.
Yep, it's their national animal.
The Blarney animal.
I just want to jump in. I did forget to copy over an answer, so I'm going to read that now. So, speaking of the Mayos, this is Elaine. Miscellaneous on Instagram said, for the first answer for the Star Wars job, she said, "Can I just keep my job as a physical therapist and apply it to the Star Wars universe? It would be so cool to help certain Jedi learn how to use their new bionic hand, or helping little alien babies learn how to walk." I'm not sure how I would handle working with, say, Jabba. He would probably be non-compliant with any exercises I would suggest anyway.
I don't want to be near Jabba in any capacity.
No, and the reason that I realized I had forgot to paste that answer over was because I enjoyed it so much, and I was like, wait, where was the physical therapist answer? Because, like, someone has to teach them how to use those robot hands.
Droid was helping Luke, I think, wasn't he? Wasn't a droid
Yeah, but he was just poking him in the hand with needles. Yeah. Like, I feel like you need to learn how to use them, like, well from somebody. So yeah. That's going to be Elaine. And her second answer is, just give me a scarf mask made of the material used for the invisibility cloak. Cool party trick, and it's magic material, so I'm sure it's very efficient in keeping out germs. It's going to be like half her head floating there.
If you wore it like a scarf, yeah, I mean, it would just be like your head floating.
You'd look like one of those things in Constantine that have the half the head chopped off that live in, like, the ghost world or whatever.
It's been a while since I've seen Constantine, so I don't remember.
Well, I'll read Bridget's and then you can read Jackson's.
Okay.
All right, Bridget says, I'd want a mask that has some kind of breathable material that is also like a mirror so people can see how dumb they look for not wearing a mask.
Gotcha, folks.
Gotcha.
We are definitely pro-mask here, because if this was an RPG, putting on a mask would give you a 30% disease resist bonus, and so why wouldn't you do it in real life?
Also, I got my Sub-Zero mask. I don't know if you guys saw. I put it in the Instagram stories on Trailer Blazers. So your dreams can come true, because my answer last week was that I wanted a Sub-Zero mask, and now I have one. I'll post another picture in case you missed it.
Dreams do come true.
They do, especially if you like Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat Day. Okay, so Jackson said the Predator mask. Can't decide on dreadlocks, though. Part of me is for him. I mean, if it was attached to the mask, that'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But he says, if it were fully functional, you could maybe even see who's infected and who's not. And you could certainly get alerted to proximity, like a proximity alert, somebody getting closer than 6 feet. But you'd know exactly how far away 6 feet is, he says. But even if they were just for looks, it'd still be a great mask. Super efficient and probably pretty comfy, since it just airlocks to your entire face.
The only problem with that is Arnold Schwarzenegger might start hunting you back without you knowing about it. So, you know, you have to be pretty up on things.
Then again, Arnold Schwarzenegger is getting pretty old these days.
Yeah. Maybe he's no match for the Predator.
Maybe not.
All right. And Holly came in with the most disturbing answer of all time. She said, I want to say human flesh in the shape of a mouth, cheeks, chin, and nose. Sounds gross and completely inappropriate, but you only live once, and when you die, someone else could wear half your face. So Holly wins the Hannibal Lecter Award for questions times answers.
That's pretty gross.
I ate her liver with some fava beans.
That is pretty gross, and if you're out in the sun too long, boy, it'd probably really start to smell pretty bad.
Yeah, pretty gross, Holly, but we'll take it.
We'll take it. We're taking all answers here, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got a review shout-out.
Yeah, so every once in a while, one of you decides to take us up on our offers to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and this week's comes from Miscellaneous, so I'm definitely glad that I remembered that I forgot to post her questions times, because that that would be pretty awkward to read a 5-star review and then have your answers forgotten that same week. She said, I started listening to these guys as a recommendation from my sister, and I'm so glad I did. I'm only to episode 11, but I really enjoy listening to all the reviews on the movies and seeing if I should waste my time to watch it or not. They keep it clean, no spoilers, and super fun. I'm loving the interactive bit with the questions times as well, especially when we do remember to read your answer.
That's exactly right.
You're lucky it was so good that I remembered it.
Hey, you may be a dumb dude, but you can still remember things.
This is what happens because I was transferring them throughout the week as people were answering, instead of what I usually do, which is all at once before we start recording. So maybe I shouldn't do that.
All right. Well, we have a clickbait?
We have a clickbait. I don't think you're going to get it because I don't think you've seen this movie. But I'm also not going to say the answer so that everyone can guess and write in and see if they can figure this out.
Okay.
So Lindsay sent me a clickbait. And she said she and Yuri were trying to think of clickbaits. And the one that I got from her was, he slices, he dices, but this Patrick is no star.
Is Edward, well, it's not Edward Scissorhands, his name is Edward.
Yeah, it's not Patrick Scissorhands, Ben. I was able to figure this out, so it's solvable.
Patrick.
Yeah, I don't know if you know it.
He slices, he dices.
All right. Well, you think about it, because I don't want to give the answer out, because I'm going to post this one and see if anyone of our listening group can get this one.
And it's not Sweeney Todd.
Nope, it's not a Johnny Depp movie. That's the hint I'll give to everyone out there.
Okay, Patrick Todd. It's not Patrick Todd.
So, all right, I will put this on Instagram, and then if you can guess this one, it's he slices, he dices, but this Patrick is no star.
That's a good one. That's a tough one. I can't get that. I'm dumb.
It took me a minute, but she and I had discussed the movie at length a while ago, so I was able to figure it out from that. It's a pretty good one. So I'm going to put that on, and then you guys can try and guess Lindsay's clickbait. And if you figure it out and you want to let us know, there's several ways you can do that. You can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, which is the recommended approach, @trailerblazerspodcast. That's where I do the questions times for the most part and just interact and post dumb pictures of me wearing a Sub-Zero mask. So you can go on there and check that out. You can follow us on Twitter @trailer_blazers for new episode release updates. As far as I know, the link to Podbean is still working and it is still auto-tweeting whenever we post a new episode. I hate Twitter and I don't go on there, so I don't know. And if you want to be cool like Miscellaneous Elaine, you can go on to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And if you leave us a 5-star rating and review, you're gonna find something magical happens. And to find out what that is, I'm gonna throw it to my correspondent in the field, Quick Mickey.
Well, this is Quick Mickey here, folks, and I'm on this thing. I'm in the kitchen because this is Quick Bites with Quick Mickey. And so what's going to happen is, if you go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating, I'm going to stay in the kitchen, and I'm going to invent a perfect cereal cluster. And I'm not going to add anything to it. It's going to be, and I'll break the cluster up into smaller clusters, you see. And we're going to make a cereal called, well, that's the question. What are we going to call it? Quick Mickey Clusters? Quick Mickey's Quick Cluster.
Mickey's quick clusters, folks.
So, but I can't do it. I won't have the inspiration to do it unless you leave a bunch of 5-star ratings for us. You see how that works? So if you feel like inspiring a gentleman like myself to do that, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to play your role, and then I'll do my part, okay? So then you should do that and see the fruits of your labor, and that's the tip.
As always, thank you, Quick Mickey, for the insight, the power from your words, and the beauty of your poetry. For the regular portion of the show, I am Nick, and I am a one-word movie title. Happy trousers.
I'm Ben Moon, an N1 Starfighter pilot with double cauliflower ear. Happy trousers.
Hey, dum-dums. It's the vid, yo. Game's one-quarter portion of the show for real.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the one-quarter portion of the show, the vid, yo, games.
Yo, games.
Portion of the show where we talk about video games. However, this is going to be a short quarter portion, Nick.
This is an eighth portion this week. We have one trailer that was of any interest, but it was of great interest.
Yeah, taint much, but this was a good one here. It was a cinematic trailer.
Cinematic trailer for Ghost of Tsushima, which is coming out on July 19th, so we're 17 days out from Ghost of Tsushima.
I am really excited about this. I don't know, because I just bought ESO, I don't know that I'm going to buy this immediately. Also, I'm saving up for a Valve Index.
I am going to buy this immediately. I've been playing The Last of Us Part 2. There's a lot of complaints about it on the internet about sort of the structure. I don't want to say any spoilers, but at the beginning I was like, well, whatever, internet people, but I'm starting to agree with the internet, and I'm not enjoying myself, and I'm getting pretty mad at the story. I don't like it. I like the gameplay a lot, so I'm going to beat the game, and the end could maybe salvage the storyline aspect of it, but that won't make up for the last 9 hours of gameplay that I've had to endure.
Let me ask you this. For Ghost of Tsushima, are you getting it for PlayStation?
I think it's a PlayStation exclusive.
I think so, too. How about this? How about I make you a deal? After you beat it, can I buy it from you?
Yeah, I'll buy the disc one, and then I'll play it. I'll play through it when it comes out, and then I'll send it on your way.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so I will say that this cinematic trailer is really good. Animation's great on it. And then at the end, this is not really a spoiler, but he puts on an Oni mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the dopest looking masks that I have ever seen.
It's so cool. I will be customizing the heck out of my guy in this. It's a stealth game. You can put it in that, like, Kurosawa mode where it's black and white and has the old-timey samurai movie effects. Everything about this looks incredible. The way that you use the mini-map is you're guided by the wind in the game. It's so cool. Everything about this is awesome, and I'm putting a lot of hope into it, and I'm getting my hopes up. It's just because I need, after this storyline of Last of Us 2 that I'm not liking, and I was looking forward to that game so hard, I need something good.
I think this is going to be a nice game where you can just walk around and hear the wind blowing through the trees and the grass and just kind of enjoy the scenery. Like, if you want to take it slow, you can.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
So the question is, you know, you and I want to make costumes from Cyberpunk 2077.
Yep.
And then I'm also thinking that, that once we play this, we're going to love it and want to make costumes from this. And then also Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So I don't know what to do, Nick.
I always have these instincts as well, but I'm really slow at making stuff. I'm not super great at it. Some of the stuff I make does turn out well. So if I try for a long time, it does look good. Like, my Witcher armor looks really good. I don't care what anyone says. Kevin and I worked tirelessly on that, pounding rivets into that thing. We're in my garage for a whole weekend straight pounding rivets. But so I can make stuff look good if I put my mind to it. But I also lack the steam to get started on most of these projects.
Yeah, I just think, like, if I have three giant projects starting in December, say, to get ready for Dragon Con, that's not a lot of time to get three giant, you know, very involved costumes done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to pick. So I'm going to have to figure out which one of these I really like the most.
I was just watching Doom Patrol before we started recording, because season 2 is on. And every time I watch it, I think I want to make Cliff, who's the robot Brendan Fraser character, because I just love Brendan Fraser so much. I want to make Cliff, but I don't want to do the work. I just want the costume.
Well, that's not the way it works, unfortunately.
Well, if I had access to the set, it would be. Maybe I'll break in and find it.
Maybe you'll make your own life a stealth action game.
I could do that. I'll wear a Ghost of I'll have to make a Ghost of Tsushima costume first in order to break in and steal the Robot Man costume.
Dispatch, we got a guy dressed up as a samurai trying to break into the studio building here.
It sounds like a Florida headline.
It really does. It sounds like Florida Man.
Charlie.
Now, so, you know, I've actually made samurai armor before. I have a Mitsurugi costume from Soul Calibur.
You could possibly adapt it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'd probably want to do it from scratch. Hmm. Yeah.
I know you just want to wear an Oni mask.
That is really what I want. I want to 3D print this awesome Oni mask. Like, I'm hoping that somebody will be able to take the in-game asset and make a 3D model of it.
I have a 3D printed clone helmet that I need to sand and assemble before I start making anything else.
I don't think you're going to get started on that helmet till after Labor Day.
That's probably accurate. My cousin's 3D printing it, and he needs to get a new fan for the printer, so most of it is printed, but there's a few pieces left.
I haven't 3D printed anything in a minute. I need inspiration. I need to play dang Cyberpunk. That's all I need to do.
Yeah. Well, Tsushima comes out first, so you'll probably get the itch for that, and then Cyberpunk, because we have to wait till November for that one.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you think of Ghost of Tsushima. That'll be great.
I'll let you know, because I will be getting it. I'm going to pre-order it so I get it release day delivery.
Yeah. Well, I will tell the audience, you know, I'm saving up for a Valve Index. It's $1,000. I am one-third of the way there, pretty much. Not well. That if we include tax, then I'm not one-third of the way there. So I'm trying to save up for the launch of Squadrons, Star Wars Squadrons, which comes out October 2nd. So I've got a little bit of time. But again, $1,000 is a lot of money. So your boy is... I'm trying to figure out ways to make money. I haven't sold shoes in a while, so I don't know. I need somebody that wants to buy custom shoes.
How much do you sell your custom shoes for?
Anywhere between $300 and $500.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this and you want some custom shoes, hit him up. Captain Amazing on Instagram.
You can see my work there on Instagram. Captain Amazing, A-H-Mazing.
Yep.
That's how you can hit me up. All right, folks. Well, Nick, you got anything else?
No, just... kind of mad at The Last of Us. I know last week I tried to give it the benefit of the doubt. I was like, well, it's switching perspectives, which is probably good to do, you know, think on outside the box, think from the other characters' perspectives. But I don't want to spend this much time with the antagonist who I hate. Like, you're not gonna win me over. I don't like this character.
Sorry, bye.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're going to beat this game before Ghost of Tsushima comes out.
Oh, totally. I've been playing it for 100 billion hours. It can't be much longer.
Okay. I probably will end up not playing it, I'm thinking.
I would recommend not playing it. I don't think it should have been made. I think the ending of the first one was perfect, and I think it was more compelling to not make a sequel. And I don't like this. I'm not enjoying it. I don't like it.
I really did not see the need for a sequel after the ending of the first one. It really did not need a sequel.
It didn't, and I now agree. And I actually am... The end of this one could maybe make it just okay, but even if it's just okay, it shouldn't exist, and I'm upset about it.
This is the Matrix sequels.
Yeah, it is.
Unnecessary.
At least the gameplay is fun.
That's good. Rope physics.
Yeah, rope physics. For the video games one quarter portion of the show, I am Nick, and I am a ghost of rope physics.
And I'm Ben Moon, and I'm an Oni mask that when you put it on, you become Loki. Jim Carrey.
Very good.
Happy Trousers!
Happy Trousers.
Saint Attila raised the hand grenade up on high, saying,
Armageddon.